Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Last night, Clemson waylays Alabama 44-16 to win the national title. And a lot of questions surfacing after that beatdown, where everybody's talking about how great Trevor Lawrence was, and he was great last night with 347 yards and three touchdowns. But really, I think we're overlooking maybe what the real story of the game was, which was the Clemson defense and what Brett Venables did. Mike Locksley is leaving to be the head coach at Maryland, but he got schooled last night in that matchup. Brent Venables just kind of took him to the woodshed.
Yeah, it was a violation of the highest order being violated. That defense right there last night for Clemson was hunting, man. Those guys in the backfield. Still got me kind of wondering, though, what was the kicker in Matt Jones, the fake punt thing? What were they thinking about?
I don't know.
No,
I
mean, Matt Jones, the fake field goal.
Fake field goal.
But Matt Jones was he was the holder, right? He was the backup quarterback. And he was supposed to be the lead blocker. But if you watch that play, like, you talk about somebody who thought it was a good decision until he ran up in that smoke. Nobody hit him, but it was like one of them things where when you're the lead blocker, you know that you're going to probably get some contact. But when he ran up in the hole, he ran up in there all fast until, you know, the hole started to get constricted a little bit. Then he kind of pulled up. The play didn't have a chance. Mm-mm. Anyway. It did not have a chance anyway. But it was just kind of funny to see that.
Grasping at straws at some point.
Well, not only that, John, who idea to have the holder run up in there like he was going to be the lead blocker in the middle of the teeth of that Clemson defense, right, the way that they were hunting, to take on that kind of punishment? Like, there are certain guys that you just know, when it comes to messing with those big linemen, they're like, I ain't about to do that. Dude, this dude's a quarterback. Quarterback. Think about that for a minute. And somebody said, hey, man, we're about to run this fake punt, and we're going to run it straight up the gut of this defense, even though they've been out there, like, manhandling the big fellas up front. Mm-hmm. We got a chance mm-hmm. on this play. Bro. That was a bad move.
Yeah, what a job by Clemson shutting out Alabama for the last three quarters of the game, essentially, after giving up a field goal 42 seconds into the second quarter. Alabama got nothing. So some questions tonight, rather this morning after last night, you know, is Clemson the real king of the college football playoff era? Is Dabo Swinney really the best coach in America? Has the myth of Alabama been busted? This is what the game sounded like on ESPN last night as Clemson won its second national title as they waylaid Alabama.
Third throw, three plays, it's intercepted, and the Tigers are going the other way. A.J. Terrell with a pick six.
A Clemson brought a blitz, and I think Tua anticipated man-to-man. Isaiah Simmons comes on the blitz. Terrell comes off of his man, and Tua was not expecting that.
The Tua's looking to throw. It's a downfield shot. Jerry Jeudy, the target. He's got it, and the Tide answer quickly. 62 yards for the Biletnikoff Award winner. That's how you shake up a pick six. Each team with a 62-yard completion so far. ETN.
Just explosiveness and still barreling into the end zone. Clemson back in front.
Damian Harris. He fake it to him. Tua rolling out and flips it to a wide open Hale Hinches. Touchdown Tide.
Great time to come back with a play action look the other way.
Ooh. It's off the upright and no good. And Alabama has missed a PAT for the ninth time. Tigers make a statement as ETN walks in, stretching the lead. It's a shovel pass in the middle. And battling his way to the end zone, ETN for a second time. Tigers on fire. Bullivis from 40 yards, and it is a fake. And taking off is Mac Jones, the backup quarterback, and it's snuffed out. Niles Pinckney made the stop. And the Tigers were thinking what we were thinking. It didn't feel right in field goal attempts.
That was fourth down and a long way to go.
Tide crowd in this end, making some noise. And back, Bentley Lawrence flips it open. Wide open, Justin Ross, off and running.
The Alabama native wins the foot race, and Clemson strengthens its grip on this championship game. Lawrence, with the rush coming, finds T. Higgins. Touchdown. There's a flag down. Late hit after the touchdown. This should stand. That kid cannot be 19 years old.
And now on behalf of the conferences and institutions that manage the college football playoff, it's my honor to bring this the national championship trophy to Coach Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers.
There ain't never been a 15-0 team, and I know we're not supposed to be here. We're just little old Clemson, and I'm not supposed to be here, but we are, and I am. And I, how about them Tigers, man? I'm so proud of our guys.
Yeah, he ought to be proud of his team. Is Clemson the best team in the college football era? They're now even with national titles with Alabama. By the way, I think I said Clemson's second national title. I meant second in 3 years. Obviously, the third national title overall. I try and forget the first one, the Danny Ford one, because I was there and it was not a good outcome for my team. That was a long time ago in the Orange Bowl. That was Fridge Perry, William Refrigerator Perry, and Clemson. Clemson, you know, they had some teams back in the day.
Yeah, hey, but last night they played lights out last night, and I'm mistaken. Was it the kicker? Somebody just texted me. My man Will just texted me and said, no, it was the kicker. It wasn't the placeholder that was the lead blocker. It was the kicker. That's even worse.
Yeah, the kicker was the lead blocker.
Wait a minute. That's right. You're right.
Because the holder
was the runner. Yeah. No, bro.
Clyde led the way.
No, that wasn't going to work. Like, the kicker don't want that smoke. Neither one of them want to block anybody. Why would you call that play? Why would you call that play that far away? Why? That was not that bright. That one right there had me thinking that maybe coach kind of like, I don't know, I think he was a little bit punch drunk. But like getting hit in the mouth like that make you a little loopy. He was a little loopy on that one.
Clemson does this. They waylay Notre Dame by 27. They waylay Alabama by 28. And you know, just an incredible run under Trevor Lawrence. So much so that, you know, without Dexter Lawrence and with the freshman Trevor Lawrence, Clemson is, an improbable, myth-busting champion in the terms of the 44-16 final score, which nobody anticipated. And by the way, it was every bit of that 44-16. That's the thing. This game was absolutely dead even through one quarter. I mean, yes, there was the pick six, but both teams had big plays, and Alabama was running the football. And then in the second quarter, Alabama gets down there close to goal, Hugh, and they have a first down and goal at like the half-yard line. They get the penalty that sets them back, and then Clemson makes a couple of big plays, and they have to settle for a field goal. And from that moment on, the game just changed. And we were talking 42 seconds into the second quarter, and from that point on, Clemson dominated the game. Alabama got away from the running game, which I didn't quite understand. As well as they ran the ball in the first quarter with Harris, and Jacobs, they were chewing up yards. And they got away from it. They only ran for under 150 yards in the game.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know. You can't get in the coach's head and try to figure out what he was trying to do. But it's one of those things where coaches get stuck, just like everybody else, and they try to get cute. And they felt like you're talking about at that point, I think it was like 28-16 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of in that situation, John. You want to score quick because you're trying to get ahead, and you're also talking about momentum at that point. Really didn't feel like it was in Alabama's favor to be comfortable enough to run the ball, especially when you had Clemson coming down scoring the way that they were scoring. I mean, they rattled off some huge plays. So I'm trying to get an offensive coordinator's head, and maybe he's thinking, you know, it takes too long to get down the field running the ball. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes coordinators get out there and they're like, nah, you know what? It's easier to throw the ball. It's more efficient to throw the ball. Even though the run game is not hurting you, coaches don't believe in that. Because it's like, you know, it's almost like shooting. If you got a team out there that's shooting threes and they're shooting your lights out threes and you keep shooting twos.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's kind of the same thing.
Right, Nick Saban after the game talking about his disappointment in the way things turned out in California.
Very, very disappointed, but I'd like to say that I'm very, very proud of what our team was able to accomplish this year, to win 14 games, win the SEC, you know, win the Orange Bowl, have an opportunity to play for the national championship. really proud of our players, really proud of our team.
But there is, and he's rightfully, that's everything he just said is absolutely true. They won the SEC championship. They won the Orange Bowl. You know, they beat Oklahoma. They played for the national title again. They're in the playoffs for the fifth year in a row. What they've done is kind of unprecedented, but some of their shine was taken away last night by Clemson. And Clemson's been in it four times in 5 years, and Clemson's won it twice in the last 3 years. And Clemson was the one that just blew your doors off. So a little bit of shine taken off of that, and this is what Saban said about one game.
And I don't think that, you know, one game necessarily defines who you are, and that's certainly what I'd like for our players to know. I think you learn a lot from experiences like this. We certainly didn't play very well tonight, and, you know, we had some issues.
So I got a question. I want to go over the last three games of Alabama, Hugh. The Georgia game and the SEC title game, the Orange Bowl against Oklahoma, and last night. That defense, for all of the mystique and Raekwon Davis and Mac Wilson and, you know, this and that, Georgia moved the ball on them. Oklahoma certainly moved the ball on them. Clemson certainly moved the ball on them. They looked kind of average.
No, but the problem was on the back end. Because, like I said, I can't remember the corner's name that got hurt, AT, that fell down when the young cat got the touchdown. I can't remember his name. But anyway, like, even before that play, John, they were making plays on the back end. It was like he was dropping – they were like Trevor Lawrence was dropping the ball out of a helicopter. Like, I like that saying when they say he's dropping the bread in the basket. There was some big plays that were made by Clemson in the passing game. He was killing them. And you know, he got hit a couple times, but he was still able to make big, big chunks of plays. Yes, Savion Smith. And you're talking about the receivers for Clemson, Jay Ross and guys like that. T. Higgins, 153 yards, six receptions for Ross. Higgins had 81 yards. So they were able to move the ball. They had like 347 yards at offense. I mean, 347 yards passing. So, you know, you look at it from that perspective, and Alabama probably felt like, you know, they had to throw the ball as well. And that's where they really got in trouble. They couldn't do it.
It is time for you to win $1,000. It's the code word time.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Flip, F-L-I-P, flip for $1,000 to 72881. Flip to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929 The Game. And, of course, flip. Did last night, did Clemson flip the narrative? Are they now the team and program to beat in college football? Flip to 72881. Flip, F-L-I-P. Does anybody remember Flip Wilson, or is it just you and me, A.T.? Are we the only ones that remember Flip Wilson?
I remember Flip Wilson.
Geraldine!
I remember Flip Wilson, John.
Okay, I wasn't sure how long ago that was.
I remember. You remember? Do you remember Nipsey Russell? Do you remember Link Hayes? Do you remember Link Hayes?
Who was it that worked at the varsity?
I don't know about that.
Back in the day.
I remember Nipsey Russell from Match Game. He would always sit
he was always
in the middle of the square.
Yeah, all right. Right. People are going to go, okay, you guys are too old.
We're just knowledgeable.
I've seen that Match Game.
Oh, okay.
You had Brett Summers.
Yeah. Okay, right. See, there
you
go.
She was the main one, along with Richard Dawson, who sat below her.
See? There you go.
There you go.
Quit underestimating the youth, John.
Gene Rayburn.
Yes. But John was going to say you and him don't have no Flip Wilson, though.
Well, I didn't know if it was in your
I mean, come on, man. It's Flip Wilson. He's a great comedian. And he did some had a show.
Yep.
He had a show on TV. I can't remember the name of the show, but he did have a show on TV.
The Flip Wilson Show.
Yeah, there it is. Flip Wilson Show.
But that was when I was a kid, so I wasn't sure if you remember that back in the day. Anyway, did Clemson flip the narrative last night? Did they actually become the program to beat? You can bet that Clemson will be the number one team in the nation because Trevor Lawrence, back at quarterback, so is Tua, and Trevor probably the Heisman favorite and all this kind of stuff. I mean, his legend has grown. And, you know, there are people, Pro Football Talk, walking it in here, and you knew this was going to be coming today. Should the NFL change its rules to allow players to go in before their junior year? Because there are people saying, you know, Trevor Lawrence is NFL ready right now after his freshman year.
I mean, I'm pretty sure some scouts at the game that felt that way. I'm not going to even lie about that. There was some scouts that looked at him and they were licking their chops. Can't wait to see what that young man is going to do.
The NBA is getting ready to gear up. We're halfway through the regular season. What does the second half of the NBA season look like? Trevor Schlug is going to tell us next.
The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship is coming Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Register for free now and you might win a grand. Sign up at 929thegame.com/Game Bowl. The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship from Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. More on Clemson's destruction of Alabama, what it means for Clemson, Alabama, and for college football coming up as we get shocking results. Well, we have shocking results in the NBA this year. Could we have a changing of the guard there as well? I guess really Clemson winning isn't a changing of the guard, is it? No, probably not. Travis Schlenk joining us this morning, general manager of the Hawks on the WaveFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Travis. How you doing?
I'm well. Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Pretty good. So what you been up to, Trav? Where you been traveling to? I can call you Trav, can't I?
Charlottesville, Virginia this past weekend, along with Wichita, Kansas.
Anything exciting? I know we can't talk about names, but did anybody grab your eye in any one of those places that you went to?
Virginia beat Florida State pretty good, and then Temple, Wichita State went to overtime, so that was an exciting game.
Yeah, that's where you're at. Travis Schlenk joining us, talking a little bit about the Hawks as they get ready to face the Toronto Raptors tonight in Toronto in a game, of course, on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game with our coverage beginning at 7. We were talking earlier about I was trying to make a segue into changing the guard. And right now, we've reached the halfway point of the regular season. We're right in and around there, Travis. And you look at the East, this team that you're going to face tonight, do you think that they are a legit threat to possibly win the NBA title?
We've talked about Toronto quite a bit. They made a big move this summer, a couple of them really. They made a coaching change, and then they went out and got Kawhi Leonard, one of the best players in the league. So, the rest of their group's been together. They have good depth. They've been dealing with some injuries. Kyle Lowry's been out. I'm not 100% sure if he's back tonight. But they have good depth. So, yeah, I think they're a legit contender this year.
Yeah, and, of course, it's been such a change with Kawhi. He's kind of settled in there. And we weren't really sure how this was going to work. I mean, after what had happened in San Antonio and the angst that had taken place in the final year between him and Pop, and he gets shipped off to Toronto and everybody said he wanted to be, with the Clippers or Los Angeles and go back home to Southern California. This has seemed to work here, and suddenly you have a Toronto team that is playing at a really high level, so much so that, everybody's starting to wonder if Canada is going to get that first title.
Yeah, no, they're certainly a contender for it. When you look at the East between, Toronto and Milwaukee, both teams are playing well. Both teams have good depth. So I think it'll be an exciting race. And then, the team that we always kind of forget to talk about is the Pacers. The Pacers, because they don't have that superstar on their team like a Giannis or a Kawhi. But, as we know, we've played them three times already this year. They're a very solid team. They have good depth. They play hard. They play very sound defensively. So they're going to be a tough out for those teams. And then, Philadelphia, Boston right behind them. So it's going to be an exciting race in the East.
See what he said, John? He didn't say that they were going to be a champion.
He said a contender.
See, Trav, he was trying to play word. He was trying to do wordplay because he was trying to just say that they were going to be a champion. And I just told him, I said contender. But, we were talking about it this morning. Tom Thibodeau got fired from Minnesota. He was the GM and the head coach. How tough is it for a person to be the GM and the head coach? What are some of the issues that you have being both?
I think the biggest problem that teams and guys run into trying to do both jobs is the coaching side. You get sucked into everything's about the next game, about the next play. There's so much pressure on immediate results where my job, it's a much more macro view of everything. How can we ultimately get to where we want to go 2-3 years down the road? But as a coach, the way society is, you're judged on, play to play, quarter to quarter, certainly game to game. So it'd be a really, really tough balancing job. trying to fight your instincts as a coach to try to want to win every single possession, as opposed to try to take the more macro view of what's best for the organization long term.
Talking with Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Boy, you know, tough on the team. I mean, you've been playing better basketball the last 2-3 weeks here, and yet every time you seem to turn around, Travis, there's another injury. Now it's Plumlee, now it's Bazemore. Of course, Torian's been hobbled in college at the beginning of the year and whatnot. I mean, trying to get just the whole team assembled so that Lloyd Pierce can work with the team that he has been a chore.
Yeah, no, we've, like every team in the league, deals with this stuff, but certainly we've had, you know, and not major injuries by any stretch, but, you know, a sprained ankle here, sprained ankle there, and that happens, and, you know, that's why they give us, you know, 15 guys to play with, but we got to mix and match and get out there and play the games.
Yeah, and so with this team not having a, you know, the whole lineup, it seems, I don't know how many games has actually had the whole lineup together this year. That's made it doubly tough on Lloyd Pierce in a lot of ways. So give me kind of your, as we sit at this point in the season, your impression of the job that the new coach has been able to do and where he's really kind of excelled. Has he exceeded your expectations?
Well, you know, one of the big reasons why, you know, we decided to go with Lloyd was going to be his ability to connect with these guys, his ability to get these guys to play hard and to create that positive environment in our locker room. Knowing that it was going to be, you know, probably a rough season for us. And he's done a great job of that. You know, you guys have the opportunity to kind of be around us a little bit, and certainly, you know, other guys in the media. You know, we've got a great group of guys, and Lloyd set a great tone. And then, you know, the other thing is, you know, to develop our young guys and watch those guys getting better. And, you know, as you're watching Trey and Kevin and John, kind of our young little group there, you know, we're seeing the growth in those guys. So, yeah, I've been very pleased with Coach Pierce, and I think he's done a great job for, you know, the situation that we knew we were going to be in.
Travis Schlenk joining John and you talking about the Atlanta Hawks as they get ready for the Toronto Raptors tonight in a game you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Trade deadline's about a month away here. Travis, generally there's been so much chatter in the league, it usually is, especially in this day and age of social media. Is there a sense among GMs in the league that there could be a lot of movement? Do you think it's going to be a busy year? Do you think a lot of big names? Because, you know, we've heard, yeah, and again, you don't have to respond to individual players because you can't, but we've heard Anthony Davis's name. But, I mean, do you think it's going to be just broadly a busy year with big names, or do you think it's just chatter?
You know, I've said this before, too. You know, 99% of the phone calls that we have with other teams, you know, they don't lead to anything. But that's just kind of the nature of it. But I think this year, because there's so many teams, like if you look at the standings in the West, you know, even all the way down to Dallas, who's now 14th in the West, you know, they're only 4.5 games out of the playoffs. So literally every team in the Western Conference is sitting there thinking, we still have a shot at the playoffs. And, you know, do we make that move to, you know, try to go out and acquire a player to make that push, or do we become sellers, so to speak, and trade away a player to, you know, get assets or get some kind of flexibility moving forward and, you know, start thinking about the future. So that's what you're going to see, you know, all these teams try to assess over the next, you know, 3 weeks or so. But it feels like it's normal, I guess. It's not, I wouldn't say there's a lot more chatter out there than in past years, but I think the difference is going to be is there's a lot more teams that don't have a real clear picture of where they are yet, if that makes sense.
You know, Trav, I know you've been traveling a lot, but I'm pretty sure you've heard about the comments that LeBron made saying that he's the greatest of all time. How do you – like, when you hear a player say something like that of LeBron's caliber, how did that make you feel when you heard that?
Well, listen, I mean, obviously to accomplish everything he's accomplished, you have to have that internal self-confidence in yourself to get to where he's gotten to. So certainly not surprised by it at all. It doesn't come off as egotistical to me. I just think that when you get to the level, you're able to get to the level that he has achieved as a player, you have to have that internal confidence of you, or you wouldn't get there in the first place. I'm sure you played with guys in the NFL that were able to achieve way more than they probably should have because of their own confidence they had in their abilities.
No, I agree with that. I was just curious because, you know, I've heard a lot of players have come out And some of them are a little bit upset that he said what he said. And I was just kind of curious because I'm kind of with you on this one. To get to where he's been able to get to, you have to be a little arrogant. You have to, and it has to come off as a little arrogant because I think of Kobe. And some of the things I used to hear that how Kobe would practice and some of the things that he did, he has a little bit of that in him. So I was just kind of curious to see what you thought about that.
So I got a great Kobe Bryant story for you. And if you've heard it, I apologize. So they were playing a game, and it was one of those years before they had Pau Gasol. And Kobe went up, got fouled. The ref said, non-shooting foul. Kobe turned around and looked at the ref and said, I haven't passed the ball one effing time all game long. Of course I was shooting. And the ref said, you're right. Shooting two.
Well, there is truth in that. That was back in those Kobe 68-point, 70-point game days. He did pass the ball because he had no one to pass it to. That's great.
Kobe did it.
Yeah.
That is funny. That is funny.
And now LeBron's on the Lakers. Go figure. All right. Hey, Travis, yeah, look forward to the game tonight. Thanks for taking a few minutes. Appreciate it, bud.
You're the man, Trav.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
All righty. Always like checking in with Travis Schlenk.
Kobe's still shooting, too.
Kobe's
still shooting. Just ain't he ain't slam dunk no boy yet, though. Mm. He had no boy, but he's still shooting.
So the Hawks play tonight, and just one other quick thing I want to just kind of throw out there because I've tweeted it out on my Twitter, at John Fricke, and it's, of course, on at ATLUTD. Atlanta United has announced its schedule for this coming season. It is out. It is public. Their schedule is loaded. The new coach, Frank DeBoer, is going to have to do a wonderful job of mixing and matching this lineup because they are going to be exhausted with the CONCACAF scheduling, you know, provided they keep advancing in CONCACAF, and you would think that they might, and the MLS schedule and whatever
else.
Yeah,
MLS, they start with D.C. United, right, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
correct.
D.C. United, yeah. In D.C.
You know, against Wayne Rooney if he's
that's
not
kind of right. That ain't right, though.
You know, arrested at airports again, but, I mean.
In the championship, you should start at home.
Yeah, and it's coming up. By the way, the season's about a month away. Just about a month. I mean, it'll be fast for that CONCACAF Champions League. Next up, we venture into that area of the show known as Hughes World.
Yes, where we reflect on last night's game and talk about a whole bunch of other stuff that happened to me last night. On the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hughes World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
All righty. You know what it is. I like this segment. I like the fact that we go from the Hughes World into Unfinished Thoughts by Hugh now, because I admit sometimes I think differently. And last night was one of those nights, John. When I was getting ready to watch the game, like I told you, my phone broke, so I had to go get a new phone. So I am at the Apple Store. Shout out to the Apple Store. Then they had the game on. I watched a little bit of the game, was getting the updates and highlights from my Apple phone at the Apple Store with a new Apple phone and things of that nature. So if you have my number or whatnot, give me a text because I lost most of my contacts because I didn't back mine up at the iCloud.
You didn't back it up at the cloud?
No, because, you know, when them folks got out the naked pictures that got out, I ain't want nobody. It's not like I'm saying I got naked pictures in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying
wait a
is,
second.
No, I'm not saying that because they kept asking me, is it backed up in the cloud? I'm like, no, and they was like, why not? And I was like, because, you know, the time them folks got the naked pictures that's leaked out, I said, I don't have any naked pictures of my home. I'm just saying, I don't want none of my pictures to leak out. So that's why I don't have it backed up in the cloud. So that was that. That was that. So I got home to watch the game, and I'm watching the game. And you know what? I got to say, John Fricke, I am surprised. I am proud of you this morning because I just knew that I was going to come in here this morning, and you were going to be like, Clemson is the greatest football team that ever played. And I was like, man, John is going to oversell this morning. I just knew you were going to do it. You didn't do it. But then again, I thought about it, and I was like, if you did do it, you probably make a strong case for it today. I was kind of surprised that because out of all the times you didn't want to oversell something, you didn't do it on the time that you probably could have did a great job of doing it. Like, for real.
Well, yeah, I mean, the question is, this is a one-off for Alabama, or is Alabama back next year, you know?
And see, that's the thing. That's another thing that I want to get off into, because Alabama's still a good football team.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not get it twisted. Now, this is a situation where we have never seen Alabama take a beating like this in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that. But it was funny how the narrative has switched. Because and Coach Saban kind of knew that, because in his press conference, when you listen to it, he talked about how, you know, hey, we still got a good football team. I'm still proud of my kids and everything. But it felt like when he said it, it felt like when the bully finally gets beat up. I mean, when he finally gets beat up.
Right. Yeah, and he's like, you know, that's a good analogy.
No, it did. And listen, I didn't have a dog in the hunt. I picked Alabama to win, but it sounded like when the bully got beat up, how he was just sitting in the corner talking about, you know, I had a nice run being a bully. You know, I'm still the tough guy. And it didn't feel like it, though. It really didn't feel like it. It felt like it was a new kid on the block. And that's why I was like, wow, this morning riding in, I was thinking to myself, is Clemson a dynasty? Now, that remains to be seen. And is Trevor Lawrence the real deal? Now, that remains to be seen, too. You know, because you know how I feel about quarterbacks, and you know if he's gonna have that sophomore slump, that remains to be seen. Who knows?
I mean, they're already comparing him to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you know what's funny, John? I know before the championship game started, he got a phone call from Peyton Manning, so they had some conversations. So you know, there's that. But again, I think Alabama, they'll be back. Still a really good football team, and this is something that we haven't seen happen to them in a long time. Another thing I thought about last night, and you got to follow me on this one because it's a little bit of a tie-in. Tua Tagovailoa had, like, what, 450 people come to the game last night, right? He arguably had his worst game as a member of Alabama. And during this run, or getting ready for this run, there was some talks about how when he did not play well, how his dad would get on him and, like, scold him or whoop him or something of that nature. And everybody had something to say about that. Like basically, if he threw some picks or whatever, that his dad would beat him. I wonder if he got a beating last night. I mean, seriously. Like, if your dad, like, if you talk about how disciplined you are and how strict your parents were on you when you did something wrong like that, or you had a bad game, you had arguably the worst game of your college career last night. I wonder when your parents came down, was there pressure to put hands on you because you had 400 people?
I bet his dad had something to say to him.
Because you know how parents get when they get around other kinfolk, they get them jumper cables on them. They get them cables. Oh, dog, we came all the way around down here to see this, and this is what happens. I wonder if his dad put hands on him last night.
Well, you know, his stock has gone from he's going to win the Heisman in a route, which we all thought probably about week 8, to Kyler Murray wins the Heisman. Oh, and by the way, Tua's not the favorite for the Heisman next year. Trevor Lawrence is.
No, he is the favorite for the Heisman. No question about that. But it's going to be interesting to see how these guys bounce back and what happens after all of this.
Yeah, they can play again next year, you know.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
But I will say this. I think the fan bases and maybe some of the coaches, Hugh, in the SEC, like Dan Mullen at Florida, Kirby Smart at Georgia, or Gus Malzahn at Auburn, or Jimbo Fisher at A&M, Coach O at LSU, I think they all watched that game last night and said, hey, you have to ask yourself, is the bloom a little bit off the rose? Okay, let's go get these guys next year. You know, Alabama's been so here that nobody could really touch them, right? I mean, they were untouchable. And Georgia had two great cracks at him and couldn't crack that egg. Now I think you're going to see some of the teams, you know, go, okay, they're not invincible. We can get them.
Yeah. You know, you never know. It's going to be interesting. Next year's college football season is going to be very exciting. And another thing I was thinking about, and I was talking to Paul Bible in the bullpen about this. What if Dirk Cotter is mulling over coming here because he's told he's not going to have total control of offense? Maybe that's why he's weighing his options. Maybe Coach Quinn told him that, you know what, you got to do what I tell you to do, and maybe he's just figuring out if he can really coexist with Coach Quinn like that. Maybe that's the case.
Well, let's ask D-Led in 10 minutes.
You know what? Let's ask him. D-Led know everything. Let's ask him.
Yeah, that's a good thing, you know, because D-Led's going to be here. talk about that. That'll be a great thing to ask him. You know, will we get an announcement today? Yeah, that the final rankings are out again. I just at the end of Hughes World, just going to let you know again, Clemson obviously unanimous number one because they're national champions. Alabama ends up number two. Ohio State ended up, how about that, number three in the nation. Who would have thought that? You know, and now you start to look at next year. Justin Fields at Ohio State. Jake Fromm at Georgia. Good Ohio State and Georgia. Could we have Justin Fields versus Jake Fromm? Will we get Tua and Trevor? Will we get Fields and Fromm? Yeah, next year, don't tell me it's not already interesting. It already is interesting, and August 29th is a ways away. That's opening night. When Clemson plays its next game against Georgia Tech. D-Led, coming up in just a couple of minutes, what D. Orlando Ledbetter has to tell us about the very latest news out of Flowery Branch surrounding the potential decision today of Dirk Cutter to become the offense coordinator of the Falcons. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.